This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the final hour here on this Monday afternoon, Tiki and Tierney. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki Barber, solo for one more hour. BT is out all week. I guess I'm solo for the next, 12, 13 hours. I did the quick math in my head. 4 days plus 1 hour. 13 hours of Tiki and Tierney. Appreciate everybody joining me. Al Harrington will join me in the next segment to talk about the NBA Finals. Game 5 is coming up tonight. That one is back in Toronto. You know, Raptors fans are got to be excited for the title potentially to be won on their home court. Can you imagine how insane that place is going to be? We've seen, what's it called? What's the Raptor Jurassic Park? We've seen how the fans, even when they're on the road, they hang out there. That place is amazing. If they should win game 5 tonight, which would mean it would be done in convincing fashion against the back-to-back champion Warriors, those winners of 3 of the last 4, it would be explosive up there in Toronto. I don't think that the Toronto fans, I'm trying to think if I have a history in my mind of them like flipping over cars and torching the city. I don't think they would. I think there'd be lots of, what do they drink up there? Beer? Pabst?
Molson. Bat, yeah.
Yeah, there'd be lots of Molson.
Maple syrup?
Stop, that's being stereotypical. But if they make good pancakes, it'd be great. I could do that. I'm about to suggest that for dinner from Tracy this week. I have some Molsons, make some pancakes. If Toronto wins, that's what I'm going to have for dinner this week.
If the Raptors win, I'm buying the Molsons.
Nice. Molsons, and I have pancakes with maple syrup. In fact, we should do that on air. Molsons, pancakes, and maple syrup. But if the Toronto Raptors should win, it brings up an interesting dilemma about what happens next for the Raptors. Should Kawhi leave or should Kawhi stay? Now, we have no idea. I mean, literally no idea what Kawhi Leonard is going to do after this season. He is not in Toronto voluntarily, so to speak. He was traded after a very disgruntled, odd year down in San Antonio. He and Danny Green came up to Toronto in exchange for DeMar DeRozan. I think there was someone else involved in that trade, but I can't remember. And it's really insignificant. But for Kawhi, I think the other side. They went down. I can't remember who else went down to San Antonio. I know Danny Green and Kawhi came up here. But what does Kawhi do? Now, we all remember the rivalry of Magic and Bird and how it set itself up. Two great college players. You couldn't have written it any better. Who had a rivalry in college, who played in the NCAA championship against each other, who get into the league and they play in the NBA championship against each other. It's back and forth and back and forth. Magic is black, obviously. Bird is white. And so it hit all of these cultural talking points that were very pertinent in the moment. This isn't that. The Kawhi and KD rivalry wouldn't be that. But I think the NBA would be great if it did have something like that and something that just felt a little bit more organically built than the jumping around super teams that we've seen over the last few years. Now, the only way that happens is if Kawhi decides to stay in Toronto. And if he does decide to stay, I think it sets up And this is all assuming that they win, that the Toronto Raptors win, whether it's tonight or whether it's game 6 or game 7, whatever it is. Toronto gets a championship, and Kawhi has this decision to make. And if he stays, I think it has a significant impact on what Kevin Durant does. Now, Kevin Durant is supposed to play tonight, I think. He's planning on playing tonight. He was cleared a couple of days ago for practice. Obviously, he's been cleared to play tonight. Otherwise, he wouldn't be planning to play. But he's got a strained calf. I hope that he's effective. I hope that, you know, he can still find a shot and he still has the athleticism, the superior athleticism that's made him the two-time reigning, actually, finals MVP. But I'm just not sure it's going to be there. And if they do end up losing the series, Kevin Durant is he's got a choice to make as well. If he decides to go and leave and Toronto holds on to Kawhi Leonard, now all of a sudden Kevin Durant is going to go to the East because the Knicks is the place that everybody assumes that he's going, or it could be Brooklyn. It really doesn't matter in this conversation that I'm having. But if he should go to the East, he's going to have to face a Toronto Raptors team that not only has the one of the best players, not the top one of the top three players in basketball in Kawhi Leonard. You got a sage, a vet in Kyle Lowry. You have a rising star in Pascal Siakam, who's only going to get better as he develops more and more of his game. He's been great so far in this finals. A great bench led by Fred VanVleet, and the ability, I think, to keep building around that team. So Toronto has the feel of a team that can be dominant for the foreseeable future. Foreseeable future, I mean 3 or 4 years. And does Kevin Durant want to go to the East, which previously had felt like it was vulnerable, into that and get a rivalry going in the East? Now, he could have other reasons to go to New York, whether it be commercial or otherwise, but I don't think he needs to do that to raise his profile. I think if Kevin Durant should lose this final, the Golden State Warriors and Kevin Durant should lose this final, the Toronto Raptors and Kawhi Leonard decide to stay, like keep this family or this merger together. Kevin Durant has every incentive to go back to the Golden State Warriors and try to prove why they are the best team in the NBA right now. And it restarts this cross-country rivalry in a way that we haven't felt in a long time. Not that the LeBron effect wasn't impactful, but LeBron felt like an entity in and of himself. It was LeBron, and especially in Cleveland, it just felt like LeBron, and it was LeBron's team, and LeBron crafted that team. There was a different makeup that was overshadowed in some regards by LeBron James. The Raptors were built organically, and it was built for a year by Musa Ujiri. But if it's lasting in Toronto and Kawhi Leonard stays in Toronto, it will feel like it was built organically, kind of old school in a sense. The Golden State Warriors were absolutely built in an organic fashion from Steph and Clay and Draymond and all those guys that won a title before KD got there. And then they imported, not dissimilar to Toronto Raptors, one of the top three players in the game and Kevin Durant, and won two championships. And so there's these two teams that feel very similar to each other, who likely will be competing in the NBA Finals over and over and over again. And when I brought this up to Samter, I detailed it like this. Sometimes the rivalry feels like it gets itself solved, right? So the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors, is there any doubt who the better team is? Even though the Golden State Warriors lost one of those to the Cleveland Cavaliers, was there any doubt that LeBron James, even with Kyrie, was inferior? I mean, hell, even that series in 2017 that they won, 2016 that they won, it was they were down 3-1. I mean, the lights were almost out on that series. If Draymond Green doesn't get suspended, and you know the energy flips and turns around, I mean, it just was. I don't know. It just felt like, and it still feels like, the Golden State Warriors were the better of that rivalry. The Toronto Raptors versus the Golden State Warriors without KD, it's unsatisfying. And I do still feel like that series could be still up in the air if Kevin Durant was playing. And so I think if Kawhi decides to stay in Toronto, just for the sake of the narrative, and I think proving who the better team is, Kevin Durant should have some incentive to stay with the Golden State Warriors. Now, there's some people that believe that. You know, a lot of people want to say that he's already out the door, that he's heading to New York, that he's heading to a place where he can own his own domain, where he can create his own legacy. But if winning a championship is what Kevin Durant really cares about, and at this point it may not be the top on his list, but you still don't want to lose them. If he goes to the East, I think it's a much rougher pass than if he stays in the West. What do you think? 855-212-4227. Should Kevin Durant stay West and reignite the rivalry nature of the NBA? Or should he go East and do what everybody's been speculating, upstart the Knicks and try to get another free agent? I think he should stay West, especially if he has a rival in Kawhi Leonard, if he stays in Toronto. Now, this could all blow up if Kawhi decides to go to Los Angeles, but I think it's going to be really hard for Kawhi Leonard to leave the Toronto Raptors if he should win a championship, be the MVP, as he's in line to become right now, and bring Canada, Toronto, its first ever championship. What do you think? 855-212-4227. Samter, what do you think?
I do think that if they lose the series without Durant, I think Durant leaves, and I think Durant can say,
"It wasn't me.
They couldn't win without me." Mm. All the questions of, oh, well, they didn't need Durant because they won 73 games before him. They won a title before him. Those questions go out the window. Now it's Durant saying, I won two NBA Finals MVPs.
Yep.
When I was out, they could not win without me. Now the question I wonder about, twofold. One, we talk about this Magic versus Bird thing.
Yeah.
Magic was larger than life. Bird was, you know, Boston Celtics, you know, old French Lick, Indiana. Magic was the new school run-and-gun NBA, Los Angeles versus Boston. Does Kawhi have the personality to be the head of a key NBA rivalry, Jordan versus Bird?
It's a good question, but he doesn't have to. In 2018 or 2019, he doesn't have to be that guy because social media will do it for him. And you're already seeing it. The narrative will be created by other people. People have spoken Kawhi Leonard into this lore already, and he barely says anything. 855-212-4227. Tell me what you think. Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. Are you taking good care of your car? Well, show your vehicle some love at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you'll get better parts, better prices every day. They have the parts you need to get the job done right, from measuring tools, mechanic wire, and motor oil to cylinders, starters, and springs. From batteries, belts, and brakes to filters, fluids, and fuses, O'Reilly Auto Parts has it all. O'Reilly stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. It's one-stop shopping for all your vehicle needs. Need something? The store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help. And if you don't have time to get to a store, shop O'Reilly online. You can have your order shipped to your home or directly to the store. Want to buy even more stuff? Become an O'Reilly O'Rewards loyalty member and you'll earn points every time you shop. Reach 150 points and earn a $5 reward. Keep going and earn double points, bonus points, even mega points. Plus, get exclusive email-only offers. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices. Every day. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Great news is a quick way that you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. Tiki Barber. Two more segments. Waiting on Al Harrington to give us a call. Tomorrow, Tuesday, is the opening match for the U.S. women's national team. We get to talk soccer. BT's not here. He doesn't want to hear it. They play Thailand at 3 p.m. Eastern. I think it's Eastern. It's 3 p.m. Eastern. So we'll be keeping an eye on it from the show. Joining us now on the telephone, Al Harrington, former NBA star, Big 3 champion from last season. Al, how you doing? Welcome to Tiki and Tierney.
I'm good, fellas. How y'all doing?
I am very good. It's just me today. BT is out. But, I saw you. When did I see you? A year ago? Is it a year? I think it was a year ago, maybe more, at a cannabis event out in California. Yeah. And I know you've been advocating really hard for this, as have we here on the East Coast, because of the medical benefits that I know that it has for athletes, whether you're trying to self-medicate yourself or trying to deal with pain. You don't want to be on the opioids. The NBA has the right, method of not penalizing but addressing it. They don't really come down hard. The NFL, as we all know, will suspend you for your career. Where does sports and this very beneficial medical plan, how do they intersect in your mind?
I don't know. I think that as legalization continues to happen around the country, I think that the proof in the pudding that it definitely helps in its alternative way to medicate. I think that a lot of the leagues are more worried about perception because, people think that, if you smoke weed, you can't be at the top of your game, you can't be focused, different things like that. But I think it's as a lot of these studies continue to come out and more people continue to advocate for it and, people that are actually users and kind of talk about the benefits that they get from it, I think that stigma will change and I think that, these leagues will start to open up and allow players to use.
Yeah, and I know the Big Three does not penalize for marijuana cannabis use, and I just find this it's an opportunity, Alan, I'm sure you agree with me. It's an opportunity where the sports leagues, the major sports leagues, NBA, NFL, NHL, et cetera, baseball, they can be the pioneers towards changing this pain epidemic, opioid epidemic that we've been talking about for so many years and just can't find a solution to.
Yeah, the league's going to have to be. I mean, the Big Three or whatever, that statement, that announcement didn't really do anything to make headway. Not like, when one of the real professional leagues kind of stepped in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that, you have the NHL talking about it. You have MLB talking about it. But, the NFL, I feel like those guys probably need it more than all the sports out the gate.
Yeah.
But, I think even with the NBA, with Commissioner, Silver being as progressive as he is, I think that, the more people that can get in front of him and have the proper conversation, I think that, he will also see that this is something that they need to look at and kind of, like you said, spearhead this movement, because guys really put their bodies through a lot. And, we talk about quality of life after the sport, what I'm saying? That's where, to me, it's even more important than when you're 25 years old, when you're 45 years old. Can you move around? What are the side effects? From all the stuff that you was taking throughout your career that, affects the way that you live the rest of your life.
No, you're absolutely right. And a lot of athletes, including Al, myself, and others, Chris Long, have talked about this and will continue to. So keep an eye on it. Al Harrington, a trilogy, a Big Three star, 16 years in the NBA. And we'll get to the NBA Finals, which game 5 is tonight, Al. And when you looked at this series, and from afar it was, hey, this is a David versus Goliath matchup. As good as Toronto is, there's no way that they can match with the Golden State Warriors. But then KD goes down, and there's no prospect of him coming back until tonight. So I don't know if you ever had a calf injury, but I'm sure you've had injuries. How hard is it going to be for Kevin Durant after 9 games, and it's been almost a month? I think it's been over a month, actually, layoff. How hard is it going to be for him to readjust to being in a big-time basketball game?
It's going to be extremely difficult for him. And literally, I'm going to say a prayer for him tonight that he doesn't further hurt himself, because the thing about the intensity of, a finals basketball game, you look how fast, Toronto run up and down the floor. You know what I'm saying? And to have a calf injury, to miss 9 games, obviously he wasn't able to do anything strenuous throughout this time that he was down. So, I'm just hoping that he doesn't, end up hurting himself any further. And, obviously for the love of the game, I would love for him to come out and find a way to win the game, because, once the NBA season's over, for me, sports really sucks.
So I would love it gets quiet.
I would love for him to get 49 and 40 games, 6, and then, see who can win it, game 7.
But, yep.
It's going to be tough for him tonight, man. And, you think about it, in any other case, if it was a regular season, he will come back with a minute restriction, But there's no time for minute restrictions in the finals.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting, man, to see how it is when you got to run chasing Siakam, because that boy's a gazelle out there on the court and stuff like that. So we'll see early the impact that he's going to be able to have.
Yeah, do you think in his mind, Free agency is what he's thinking about, because let's face it, he's got two championships. He's got two NBA Finals MVPs. Like, he's proven what he wanted to do when he decided to come to Golden State. Do you think free agency is more important at this point than, I guess, going all out to help the Golden State Warriors get back into the series?
No, I think, you know, talent. So, you know, even if, God forbid, if he did tear his Achilles, you know what I'm saying, he still would have got the Supermax.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's that good. So from that perspective, he doesn't have to worry about free agency. You know, he's already a slender guy. Not like he's a big guy and, you know, not going to be able to jump. And you know what I'm saying? So for him, you know, his contract is for sure solid. You know what I'm saying? Any team in the league will give him a max. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
So I think it's more for him of just like, you know, he set out to win the championship. You know, three-peats is kind of what makes dynasties.
Yeah.
So that's all that's, you know, so it's a legacy thing for him tonight. You know what I'm saying? Or the rest of this series. So I can definitely understand why he's choosing to play.
Yeah.
And like I said, I just hope that, you know, that he can get through this game, you know, healthy.
That makes a lot of sense. Al Harrington joins us, former NBA player. He's obviously with the Big Three right now. But I didn't think of it in that regard. When you think about dynasties, and I guess we in our minds consider the Golden State Warriors a dynasty because they've won three, but it's been over 4 years and now really over five. But the ones that you really remember are the Bulls twice, the Lakers, you go back to the Celtics. It's those teams that just kept winning over and over and over and over again. Which brings us to the team that might interrupt that, which is Toronto Raptors and Kawhi. He's been amazing. He's one of the great players in the NBA right now. It's hard to imagine winning a championship and then bouncing. Do you think he has any incentive to stay if they win in Toronto?
You would think, man, and you know, that's what's so weird about the league now. It's just like, you know, guys just moving around. They don't care no more. Like, there's no loyalty to the team. And I mean the team, like teammates, not the organization. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you lock into your guys, and these are my guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I respect guys that move around because, you know, obviously the NBA or all sports is what have you done for me lately, organizations or leagues in general. So, I never hold anything against a guy that decides that he just wants to move. But, you know, if you left San Antonio and went to, you know, Toronto and created a championship environment, and to leave that would seem kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I would say if he wins, he has to stay, man. I mean, if you don't really want to be there, you know, sign a 2-year deal, you know what I'm saying, and then leave in 2 years or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but I think that if you win, you got to go back to the same team to see if you can repeat. Like,
yeah.
You have to defend the throne.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing. It's like you put the Raptors in a position where they can't repeat, you know, in a sense. Have you ever met Kawhi? Have you ever spent any time with him?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time with Kawhi. When he first came out of college, he worked out with me with my trainer, Impact, in Vegas.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's always – it's funny, man. He's just – you know, that iRobot thing is, like, really a character of him, a little bit, like, on the court. But, you know, when you get him off the court, man, he's actually a deep dude, man. He talks. You know, he's not as quiet as he seems on the court. You know what I'm saying? He's just like anybody else. But it's just like when he gets out there on the basketball court, he just becomes a totally different person.
Yeah, no, we know his history. And we're talking here to Al Harrington, who's been a long time in the NBA, 16 years in the show. But we know the history of Kawhi, his father being murdered, and like how introspective he is. But why do you think he comes off so guarded, right? You know, today's NBA, you see all these guys, they're out there. They got every, you know, social media. They want to build a brand. I'll put that in quotes. They want to build a brand. He has seemingly zero interest in doing any of that. He just wants to play basketball. You know, why do you think he takes that type of methodology into his career?
I mean, it's tough. I don't know why, because obviously, you know, he leaves a lot of opportunity on the table by being so guarded.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? That's just who he is, man. And at the end of the day, like, I mean, the one thing I would ask any human being is just to be who you are at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just because it's easier to be who you are.
That's right. You know, yeah, you don't have to fake it.
Somebody else. Just be who you are. You know, at the end of the day. You look at, you know, you just look at him, and, you know, it's, you know, obviously, like I said, you see a lot of opportunity that he misses out on by not being more, you know, excited about things.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it makes us talk about him, you know what I'm saying? And you know, and his legend is growing.
That's, as we speak. I tell you, that's a good way to put it. Every time we get a Toronto caller, first thing I ask him is like, you got a Kawhi Leonard jersey? And nobody says yes, but I think if they win a championship, even if it's a one-off, you got to get yourself a Kawhi Leonard jersey because he's been amazing up there.
They're going to be one hell of a throwback.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Al Harrington, I appreciate you hopping on with me for a little bit. Game 5 is tonight. I know you'll be watching, as will all of us, and hopefully we'll catch up with you down the line, either on the court or in business as well.
All right, for sure, brother. Talk to you soon.
Be good, Al. Al Harrington is a good dude, really good dude. Met him a couple years ago out at this cannabis event out in California. Just talking about advocating for athletes. A lot of athletes are starting to talk about it. And Al's been in the space for a long time. I think his interest started with his grandmother, who had some conditions or issues that CBD and other cannabis substances allowed her to get off of and improved significantly her quality of life. Coming up next, we have The Blast. Lots of interesting topics to get to. Before we get to that, we'll get to Richard Ackerman and an update.
It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question comes to you from Zach Matlock at Pitmaster 103181. Happy birthday in a couple of months. Pitmaster, make up some barbecue. What's worse for Curry's legacy? One, losing the series tonight, that would be in game 5, or two, Durant returning and the Warriors winning in 7? Well, that's a great question, Zach. And I'm not just saying that just to be complimentary because you sent us an Ask the Pros question of the day. I'm going to say two, Durant returning and then finding a way to win, but we should re-explore this. That's a really, really deep question. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or you can tweet us. Go to Twitter, open it up, at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Zach Matlock, who asked that question, and our Ask the Pros question, what's worse for Curry's legacy, Steph Curry's legacy? If they lose the series tonight, that would make him 3-2 in finals. Obviously, he did one, not by himself, but without KD, the organic, original nature, original Golden State Warriors, Steve Kerr's inaugural season there. And he created this new template for a three-point shooter, put himself on this massive pedestal. If he loses tonight, though, he'll be 3-2. Has he won enough? Has he won enough for us to forget the two? I think the answer is probably no. I don't think he's won enough for us to say, yeah, but he's lost two.
And especially considering the three that he's won, he wasn't the best player on the court for his team.
For two of them, he was not.
For none of the three.
Well, yes, one.
Because Andre Iguodala won the other one. Yeah, so he's right. Never won MVP.
But we think offense. We don't think defensive dominance. It was Iguodala, defensively dominant. That's why he won that MVP.
Understandable.
I hear you, but you're right. You're right. He's never won to Sam's point, he's never won the finals MVP. And that's been one of the, I guess, sticking points when you look at Steph Curry. He hasn't won a finals MVP. 3 championships, but no finals MVP.
I mean, you can say this about Tom Brady. 6 Super Bowl championships, 4 Super Bowl MVPs.
Yeah.
So you kind of overlook those 3 losses.
And to your point, Tom Brady, I mean, he's lost 2. He's won 6, but he's lost 2. Oh, he's lost 3 because he lost to the Phillies. I mean, the Eagles as well in those NFC East teams. But you don't mind the 3 because he's won 6. So he's been to 10. No, 9. He's been to 9. 9 championships. Yeah, 6-3. It's an okay record. You don't mind the 3 losses.
He's basically been to double the amount. He's been more than double the amount of Super Bowls that Joe Montana has been to.
Yeah.
So
right.
Even though Montana was 4-0,
yeah.
Brady's been to double plus one.
You're right.
It's insane.
So I think if Steph loses tonight, it does impact his legacy because he hasn't won at finals MVP, and he's just under being 500. That's interesting. Now, the other side of that question, if Durant returns and the Warriors win 7, then clearly Kevin Durant would be the MVP again in a lot of people's minds, winning 3 games
And especially if he has a big part in that. If Durant returns and the Warriors win, I think this Warriors dynasty becomes Kevin Durant's as opposed to Steph Curry's. Because right now it still feels like Steph Curry's and Durant was just this like luxury, this added piece. If Kevin Durant comes back and wins this thing, helps the Golden State Warriors win this thing, and he's, you know, he's the finals MVP for the third straight year, this Warriors dynasty now becomes, in a lot of people's minds, Kevin Durant's. That's interesting. That's a really good question, Zach. Appreciate you. You ready for the blast, Hamter?
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
So DeSean Jackson, who crushed your Giants a couple times with some punt returns, is back with the Eagles, and it looks like he may be returning punts in Philly again.
Wow. He didn't do it against me. I was actually at that game that it happened.
That was so
ridiculous. I
went
with my kids. They must have been – they were young, so it must have been like 2011 or 2000, whatever it was. And they didn't want to stay, so we left. And on the radio, I hear this punt return happen. I'm like, are you kidding me? Same thing happened. Brian Westbrook did it to us when I was with the Giants. So, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, we've seen Antonio Brown returning kicks and other superstars. I know you obviously returned kicks earlier in your career, but he kind of took you off those duties when you became the man behind the man. So how do you feel about key starting position players returning kicks?
I love this because it gives your star players, especially running backs and wide receivers, don't get a ton of touches. Now, we had a failed experiment doing this with Jason Sehorn in the preseason, but that was a kickoff, and Jason Sehorn isn't a natural ball handler. But if you have your wide receivers or running backs who have done this on a regular basis, being in that position and return kick, I love it because it allows your best skill position players another touch on the football, or another four touches on the football in a game. So I great job. If DeSean Jackson wants to do this, the Eagles should absolutely let him do it.
Tony Parker hanging him up after 18 seasons, most of them obviously with the Spurs, four world championships. He's considered a Hall of Fame lock by many, despite never making an NBA all-first team. First team. He's made a couple second teams and one third team. He has a 15-point-per-game career average. Everyone's like, oh, well, he was a point guard distributor. He never averaged more than 8 assists a game. His career average is 5.7 assists a game. So he wasn't really distributing that much. He wasn't known as a great defender either. So is the NBA Hall of Fame too easy to get into?
Yeah, it is. To be short, yes. Because it's to your contributions to the game. So you could make an argument that because he's French, Tony Parker opened NBA to those in France who love the game. Oh, we're going to follow the NBA because Tony Parker is there. He's an interesting... Is he a lock? I mean, I guess he is because of the championships, and he's the leader of that of Greg Popovich's right-hand guy. He's like the leader of the team in a lot of ways, but if I looked at just raw stats and just said yada, 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 no championship data in my mind... Would Tony Parker be a Hall of Famer? He wouldn't be. So, yeah, I think the answer is, since he is going to get in the Hall of Fame, it is too easy.
The Pelicans are reportedly pursuing multi-team options for an Anthony Davis deal. What are the odds that you think that AD is traded before the June 20th draft?
I don't think this happens before the June 20th draft. I just don't.
Really?
There's too many complications in place.
So what percentage do you give it that it's before?
Percentage before the draft, I'm going to say less than 30. So let's say 25% chance that Anthony Davis gets traded before the June 20th draft. And the reason why is easy. It's simple. David Griffin wants to hold him there. He wants him there. And so he wants him likely to meet Zion Williamson. If they should go draft Zion Williamson, which everybody expects them to do, maybe be in the same room with Zion Williamson and see if he can convince him to not, keep pursuing this trade and take their supermax offer. So I'm going to say it's very low. I'm going to say 25%, maybe even less.
The Yankees looking for a pitcher now that Keuchel is not in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. And they put one of their starters,
Domingo Germain,
already on the 10-day DL. So now they're considering Mad Bum and Marcus Stroman.
Yeah.
So between Mad Bum, who obviously has a storied history, and Stroman, who's obviously younger and a little bit sharper maybe right now,
yeah,
who do you think would be the better addition?
I'd go Mad Bum. Look, it looks like Aaron Judge is about to get back into the fold a little bit. He's on a rehab assignment, I believe. Next week he's going to start it. So they went on a little bit of a slide, but they're going to get some of these stars back, these position players back. And we know that they're going to push to win the East and into the postseason. I think the experience that Mad Bum brings, Madison Bumgarner brings to the postseason is invaluable. So if I'm picking one of the other, either one is great, but if I could pick one or the other, it would be Bumgarner.
This is a really interesting story. 63-year-old former Auburn coach Terry Bowden, son of Bobby and brother of our good friend Tommy, he's going to become an unpaid graduate assistant on Clemson's football staff, where his brother Tommy was actually the head coach at some point because he's taken some master's classes at the school.
That's great.
Do you think this could be a dangerous precedent for schools to get former coaches and big name guys into the program?
No, I think
or just a fun little addition.
No, I think it's a fun little addition. It's like Terry Bowden, who we've had on many times. In fact, the last time we had him on, didn't he have his father hop on air?
That was maybe a few times ago, but yes.
But still, Terry's great. And he doesn't have a bad bone in his body. So to think this is any kind of undermining of the system, it would be stupid to think that. And I don't think it's a bad precedent either. Because think of where Terry Bowden is in his career. He's 63 years old, right? Who at that age is going to do something unless it's genuine? You know what I mean? He doesn't have to do this. So I think this is awesome. It's a great addition for the Clemson Tigers. And Dabo Sweeney and those guys will get a ton of benefit out of having a guy like Terry Bowden, whether it's just having called up recruits or spending some time with some of these families that know him from his previous years and know his family from all their success. Good job, Clemson. The rich get richer.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Tomorrow night at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, make way for what's next when CBS Sports Network brings you a WNBA showdown between the Washington Mystics and the Connecticut Sun, only on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports, CBS Sports Network. That's awesome. I got to maybe take my kids to one of these games because I have 4 girls, you know. They would love this. Go ahead.
Now, real quick, I don't know if you saw this story, but speaking of the WNBA, mm-hmm. Swin Cash,
I saw that. I did
who
see
was
this.
Part of CBS Sports Network. She's done some stuff on We Need to Talk and
it's
some
awesome
other local
her.
Shows. She's now going to be an executive for the Pelicans.
That's awesome.
And so it brings up the question.
Do you know what the title is? You know what she's going to be doing?
Her official – I saw that she's going to be a front office executive. I will look to see if I can find the official title.
The only reason I ask is because we've seen this starting to happen a little bit with females getting into the coaching side of the NBA. Becky Hammond is the one that jumps off the top of our head the most because she was with the Spurs. I wonder if Swin is going to be anywhere near the court. Obviously, she was a great, great, great player. She's a great girl, too. So a great woman, I should say now. But I think this is awesome for her. And I think it's forward thinking and it's beneficial because she knows basketball.
And we've seen, you know, Nancy Lieberman, obviously you said, yep. Becky Hammond, women who are rising in the ranks in the NBA circles. Becky actually interviewed for the Bucks mm-hmm. job before Budenholzer got it. But then we're also seeing in the NFL, obviously your guy Bruce Arians yep. is bringing women aboard. Jen Welter
yep.
has had her success there on the field. The Bills brought in a female as well.
The Bucks have two, right? Two female assistants.
I think they have two. And yep. there's various teams that are bringing women in. So here's the question, right? As a football player, former football player, what happens first? A female head coach in the NFL or yep. a female NBA head coach?
NBA.
Okay.
It's easier. It's easier in the NBA because there's one, the roster is significantly smaller, and basketball is less of a nuanced sport. And I don't mean that to diminish the X's and O's, but to be a head coach in the NFL, you're dealing with the cerebral quarterback and then the maniac, a special teams guy. And the only way that you get, in addition to the X's and O's, and the only way that you becoming a head coach these days is if you are a champion of the X's and O's, and you can design plays and things of that nature. Basketball, and where are females getting that opportunity? They're not really getting that opportunity. In basketball, females have that opportunity every day, whether it's coaching high school or college or assisting in the NBA. You have it every day, and you're not worried about the breadth of positions that you got to learn. That's interesting. I do think it happens. Don't know when, but it will happen because it's percolating around the edges. Too many times. John Calipari will join us tomorrow on Tiki and Tierney. The game tonight, I think the Raptors close it out. We'll see. See you tomorrow, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.